Lord, let the words of my heart and the meditation of my mouth be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Dear friends, today is Good Shepherd Sunday, and I'm going to pair in Mother's Day as well in the sermon. I want to weave that in as well. But as we start out this morning, it's good to recognize in our prayers of the church today, we're going to read through Psalm 23 and then have the prayers based on Psalm 23. My sermon today is based on a very specific verse. I think you've heard it before. Have you heard these words before? Psalm 23, verse 6. Can you say them with me together? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Heard those before? Anybody? Yeah? Okay. Do you believe them? Do you hold on to them? They build confidence, don't they? Do we need confidence these days? We need confidence these days. Let's begin by looking out on the days that are ahead of us. This is a personal question. What do you see out in front of you? Let's make it very specific. What do you see 90 days from today? August, around the corner. What do you see in your life? How about 180 days from now? What do you see? December, Christmas. Can you think of Christmas as wonderful days like this? What do you think life's going to look like? How about 365 days from today? Where are you going to be? What do you see? Perhaps there's some dreadful things that you're looking at. Perhaps it's monotony and boredom, doing the same old thing, and you'd rather see some change in your life. Is that what you see in those days ahead? David saw him. David was a shepherd. The guy that wrote Psalm 23, he saw fields day after day. Boredom, monotony. Maybe what you see out on the horizon 90, 180 days, maybe it's a dead-end job with no satisfaction or no job at all. David was there. David lost his job. The CEO of Israel. He lost his employer. He lost the kingdom. Do you see loneliness around the corner? David saw that too. Did you know there was a time period in which he lived in caves? No friends. 2 Samuel chapter 23 says that David only had 30 faithful friends. The king, his whole entire life. 2 Samuel chapter 23. When people are looking for passages to bring, to bring some comfort during a tough time, a funeral is right around the corner for a loved one. Guess what people choose time and time again? Psalm 23. I've never heard someone say, I don't really like that passage. I've never heard that as a pastor. Why this passage? Because it builds confidence. Verses 5 and 6 especially are asking you to look ahead in your life, 90, 180, 365 days. Look at those days and say this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me every day of my life. Is that possible? Wow. I want to unpack these words here today because they're meaningful for Christians of all time. Actually, very meaningful for Jews, God's people. There are two blessings in this little phrase here. The two blessings are goodness and mercy. Now, the words that are behind this in the Hebrew, I'm sorry, you came to church on Mother's Day thinking that you weren't going to get a Hebrew lesson, and Pastor Lucky's doing it. Oh, no, it's going to help you, though. It's going to help you, I promise. The words behind these two are probably two of the top five words in the entire Old Testament. I want to explain them, because the words in English don't even do justice to what these words actually mean for God's people, for Christians. The first word, goodness. Seamus, if you can transition here. The word for goodness is tov. Please say that with me. Tov. That's the word for goodness. But again, I'm going to suggest this morning that the word for good in the Old Testament is deeper than just good. It means perfection. In fact, you already know this. You already know where the word good appears in the Old Testament. Can anyone remember where the word good appears in the Old Testament? Okay, I'm going to give you a quiz here. On day one, God created the light. And at the end, God looked and saw that it was good. Hey, you know Hebrew. Tov is the word. On day two, God formed the dry ground, looked out on the end of day two, and he looked and saw and made the declaration that it was Tov. Excellent. A plus, Hebrew scholars. You're right on it. Day three, God created the vegetation, the plants, the seeds. God saw squash. My goodness. He saw squash and came to the conclusion. I would never come to the conclusion, but God came to the conclusion that it was Tov. On day four, God created the expanse, the universe, the stars, the skies, the planets, and at the end of the day, he said it was Tov. On the fifth day, God created the birds and the sea creatures. He looked at octopus and said it was Tov. And on the sixth day, God created animals and he created human beings. And at the end of the sixth day, God said that it was Tov. Nope, it doesn't say that. Tricked you. Sixth day, look it up. Said it was, anyone know? It was very Tov. Whenever you see good paired with a person or something, perfection. Nothing was wrong when God created the earth. Friends, what an amazing promise. Your future, your days couldn't be any better. They're Tov, they're perfection. 90, 180, 365 days. Don't believe me, that's the Hebrew here speaking to us this morning. How's that possible? It's possible because the text is saying here that someone behind us is making it perfect. You're not perfect, I'm not perfect. It's that someone behind us is making it good and fitting things right in place. Our confidence shouldn't be in ourselves. It should be in the person behind us that's making everything perfect. Dear friends, in our household, there are a couple days of the year where there is a trail of imperfection in the house. I have to admit it, it's there. It happens on days like Halloween and Easter. What I mean by a trail of imperfection is candy wrappers that lead a trail. A Milky Way wrapper on one table. Then you go a few feet, and on a counter, there's a Twix wrapper. And down by the shoes, there's a licorice wrapper. And you go a little further, and there's Sour Patch Kids. And the guilty party is right here. Can you attest to that? Yeah? Okay. And the trail of imperfection tells a story of where someone's been and what they've done and what they've eaten. It's a sad story. But you see, someone comes from behind and picks everything up and makes it just perfect. And it's all gone. Dear friends, as we look out on our days, sin is around the corner. There's imperfection in our lives, no doubt. But what this is saying is there's someone that's following you that'll make it right. That's God. How powerful is that? That's our source of encouragement. So our source of encouragement is not that we're going to be perfect or that we're going to be successful. You may not be. The world's going to tell you that's how confidence comes. Confidence in the Bible says it comes from knowing there's someone coming behind to right the path that we've blazed. Now, how can you know that this is a personal message, this goodness word here? Thanks for forwarding that. Thank you for forwarding the slide there, Seamus. We're going to go to the next word. This is why we need the other word. This word's going to teach us how personal God is to us and how his commitment is so deep and personal. You didn't know this morning as you came to church, but you're getting a Hebrew lesson. Sometimes when you get a Hebrew lesson, it's an opportunity to kind of spit. Ah, these words are so intense. They're gutturals. So this word is called chesed. It's formed in the back of the throat. So do not spit on your neighbor, but try to say it, chesed. Chesed. Never forget this word. Never forget this word. It's a huge word. It's the word for love in Hebrew. And that's the word here in Psalm 23, verse 6. It means much more than mercy. Here it says loving kindness. The way I'm going to translate this, I think my translation's even better than that, actually. It means faithfulness no matter what. No matter what the circumstances are. Sticking to it no matter what. Chesed. Chesed plays out in the Old Testament, especially when there are covenant agreements between two people, and you got to commit yourself. See, when you promise something in David's time, when David wrote this psalm, you are committing yourself to what you said and what you promised. And this is how it worked in covenants. We know this from the Old Testament and extra biblical writings. This is how covenant agreements work, and chesed played out. When two people came to an agreement, they would find an animal, they would kill it, and they would slaughter it, and they would cut it in two. That sounds horrific, doesn't it? And that's just what happened. I'm just detailing it here this morning. Then what happened next was the two pieces were put on two sides, one on the left, one on the right, and the first person in the agreement would walk down the middle between the two pieces and would say this, if ever I violate my agreement and my covenant with you, let it be done to me as what has happened to this animal. Ooh, that's intense. Then the second person would then, the other part in the agreement, would come around and walk through the two pieces, one on the left, one on the right, and they would say, if ever I violate my word or my covenant with you, let it be done to me as has been done to this animal. Now, if you were living in these times, would you follow through on your word? Yeah. Today we're not so good with that, but back in Old Testament times, you did it. If you promised, you were following through. Now, something really amazing happens when God makes a covenant with David, the author of Psalm 23. This is the background of this text. God made a covenant with David, but it's unusual. You can look it up, 2 Samuel chapter 7. God promised this, that from David's family there would be a Messiah, and that Messiah would come from the tribe of Judah. But the unusual part of the covenant is that it did not require David to do anything. It was a one-sided commitment. David didn't pledge his obedience. David didn't pledge his full commitment. The commitment was one-sided, a single covenant. God gave his commitment to David. And guess what happened in David's life? David sinned. With our confirmation students, David violated every commandment, adultery, murder, theft, coveting, adultery, the whole shebang right there. God remained chesed to David. God remained committed to David. The first sentence of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 1, says this. The genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of who? David. That's how it starts. God followed through. David wanted us to know, this isn't just poetry here for David. It's not just like, oh, I want to inspire people in 21 centuries. That's not what he's doing. He's speaking personally about chesed and how it impacted his life. And he is saying here in this text, if you can go ahead and go one more time here, David is saying, Tov and chesed are yours. And to top it off, there's a little word in the beginning. Surely goodness and mercy. That's not, he could have used probably goodness and mercy. He could have said, I got a hunch that goodness and mercy are coming your way. No, that's certain. Surely goodness and mercy are with or follow you all the days of your life. Confidence, it's where it comes from, right here. Chesed, tov, you have it. I read a story recently about Mother's Day, and the story was about Solomon Rosenberg and his family. He had two sons and a wife, and they were arrested by the Nazis during World War II. They were taken to a concentration camp, and when they went to the concentration camp, Solomon Rosenberg writes that there was only one rule in the concentration camp. The rule was this, that it... A simple rule. If you work, you live. If you don't work, you die. The family of four, every morning that they woke up, would go off their different ways. Father would go one way, mother would go a different way, sons would go in different ways, and they would come back every day, Solomon writes, and they would get together to make sure that the others had survived, and they would give thanks for making it one more day, and they would share their life, then they would go to bed for the next day. One day, Solomon got back from the work day, and he came back and he didn't find his family. He found the stronger, younger son, his name was Joshua, and he said, "Where's the family?" Joshua said, "Dad, when David got back, the weaker brother, the weakest son, he said that he couldn't work, and they came after him. And when they grabbed him, he said that he was afraid, and he cried out. Mom came over. Mom came over and took his hand and said, 'There's nothing to be afraid.' And they walked away together, never to be seen again." True story. When we hear that story, we're inspired that a woman would do that and stand by her child, but we understand it because that's what mothers do. That's their flesh and blood. Mothers believe in their children, even when circumstances are dire. As a pastor, I've experienced mothers that have sons that have, or daughters that have done horrific crimes. They still believe that there's a kernel of goodness inside of them, that there's some point that can be redeemed in their son or daughter that's committed such a thing. It's understandable that a mother would commit themselves to a child like that. But here's a question for you. What if it was a woman, or a man for that matter, and it wasn't their flesh and blood, and they were put in that circumstance? Would they sacrifice their life? Would they go and comfort someone even to the point of death? What do you think? No? Maybe? I don't know. Here's my point. Jesus did. Jesus did. And he is the reason why we can say these words. Surely goodness and mercy, surely goodness and loving kindness will be with me for all the days of my life. Jesus was good, perfect. Jesus was. He was tov. Jesus was chesed. He was with his disciples and he knew that they would betray him. He knew that they would deny him. He stayed and loved them to the very end. John chapter 13 says, Jesus continues to love us even though we sin. Jesus remains committed to us even though we don't live up to our end of the bargain and what we say. And the reason why he does it, so that in our final days when we see death, Jesus can grab our hand and say, just like that mother said, "There's nothing to fear. I'm going with you." That's why we can live with confidence. No matter how we no matter what we look like, no matter how we view the days down the road, these words are with us. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Because Jesus goes with us, even those days after death. Days in which we go to eternal life. He's with us. He is the end. Let's be built up in confidence today. Not because of who we are, not because of our abilities or talents or successes, but because Tov and Chesed are ours, no matter what, all the days of our life. Amen. Let's pray about that, and then we'll collect our offering. Lord, sometimes we lose confidence in life, and sometimes we look for confidence in the wrong places. We look inside of ourselves. Lord, we thank you for a good shepherd that doesn't leave us on our own, but grabs our hand and says, there's nothing to fear. I am with you. Lord, as we look out and see the days ahead, 90, 180, 365, help us to know that what follows us is your goodness and your loving kindness. Amen.